says this. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let's pray before we look at God's word this morning. Father, we read those words wonderfully of Jesus bringing transformation. But we thank you that we have seen that to be true, not just in the pages of the Bible, but even in Tom's life and Elizabeth's life this morning. And all we pray is your word is opened up this morning, that what you have done in their lives, or that you might do for the first time in maybe someone here with us this morning, that we would see our desperate need of Jesus, and as we have sung, we would then flee from our sin and run to him. And so, Father, be with us and encourage us through our time, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Life in lockdown seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? In some ways, it seems like another world. But if you had COVID early on in those days of lockdown, maybe you remember folks kindly bringing food to your home, dropping it off at the front door, ringing the doorbell, and then running as fast as they can. If you had to go and get a test done at one of those centres, you had to wear your mask at all times, even though you had to take the mask off to put the thing in your mouth, and then you had to adhere to the social distancing measures. If you were positive, you weren't allowed to go into shops or the supermarkets. You were banned from public life. You were viewed as unclean. And that banning from public life wasn't just in the public realm, but it was even in our homes. We were encouraged, if possible, to have separate bathrooms and separate toilets. If you had COVID in those early days, maybe for you it wasn't so much the pain of having COVID, but some of those measures of not being able to be near people, those whom you love. As we think this morning about our passage, in some ways COVID is going to help us a little bit to feel something of what life would have been like for a leper, or this leper here in Luke 5. For he would have known life with social distancing. We know that he would have to wear a face mask. He too was banned from public life. People would drop food off for him. He was viewed as unclean. And his condition didn't just last 10 days until he could test out. There are stories in the ancient world of men and women suffering and struggling for up to 20 years living with leprosy. And to have leprosy, friends, it was to suffer. In fact, here's how one author describes the hideous progression of the illness of leprosy. He says this: leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some part of the body. The nerve trunks are affected. The muscles waste away. The tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows ulcerations on the hands and feet. Then comes a progressive loss of fingers and toes, until in the end, a whole hand or whole foot may drop off. The duration of that kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years. It is a kind of terrible progressive death in which a man dies by inches. Imagine being diagnosed with leprosy, what your life would be like. Sadly, in our world today, leprosy is still around. It is still a thing. It is to live a life where your body increasingly becomes numb. You cannot feel pain. Indeed, there are stories around the world today of rats being seen chewing on lepers while they sleep, and the leper not even knowing. The physical disease of leprosy is horrendous, but added to that is the terrible social consequences in ancient Israel that only added to the misery of a leper. According to that ancient historian, Josephus, he describes it being, in effect, to be a dead man walking. Indeed, there are shockingly ancient reports of certain religious men carrying rocks in their pockets just in case one of those unclean lepers would come near them. And why would they do such things? Because they know if a leper touched them, they too might catch leprosy, but more than that, they might be unclean. And the practical outworking of being unclean in Judaism, effectively it meant you had to stay back. It restricts one's relationship with God. An unclean person cannot enter the temple. An unclean person cannot attend the feast and the festival. An unclean person cannot give the sacrifices. But it also restricted one's fellowship with man. An unclean person was cut off from society and had to live outside the home. And we know the Mosaic law tells us that to be a leper was to be unclean. In fact, here's what Leviticus 13 says of that person. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkept, cover the lower part of his face, ancient face mask, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. Imagine, friend, that is your life. Total isolation, living outside society, barred from the worship of God, as inch by inch your body wastes away. And that is the sort of man we find here in Luke chapter 5. And yet Jesus will do a work in his life. Often we see in the life and ministry of Jesus, Jesus will use a physical healing to authenticate his personhood, but to also point to a greater spiritual level of healing. And we know, for example, particularly when it comes to leprosy, often the disease of leprosy in the Bible is linked to the spiritual disease of sin. In fact, this is alluded to in our text, because did you notice the leper did not come to Jesus and say, "If Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." But he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." To be clean here is to be purified physically and spiritually. This link between leprosy and sin is further added in the fact that if you had leprosy, you did not go to the doctor, but you went to the priest. And so this physical healing will speak to us of a spiritual healing. The spiritual healing power of Jesus, not simply over leprosy, but friends, but over sin. If you are with us this morning and you are not a Christian, and by that we mean someone who is not actively following Jesus as their king, maybe if you're honest with yourself this morning, the reason that you are not seeking to live a life following Jesus is because maybe you think there is really no way that God would forgive and cleanse someone like me. That if you're honest with yourself, the things that you have done in your past have just left you feeling unclean. And because of those things, you do not come to Jesus. For why would Jesus want anything to do with someone like me? Would Jesus really want me? And if that's you this morning, friend, this passage is good news, for it is going to show us how here comes a leper to Jesus, full of the awfulness of leprosy. And this day he humbly and faithfully comes to Jesus and asks for forgiveness. And he finds that Jesus is not only able to cleanse him, but Jesus is willing to cleanse him. And friends, just as Jesus is more than willing to cleanse this leper of his disease of leprosy, so this morning he is more than willing to cleanse us from the disease of sin. But for us to experience that cleansing power of Jesus, we first of all must recognize our desperate situation. And in that desperacy, we must then come and cry out to Jesus. And as we do, Jesus wonderfully here grants complete cleansing and calls this man to then complete obedience. And so we're going to look at this passage this morning under 2 points, and both of those points are going to break down into 2 sub-points. And so let's just begin by realizing that we must, as sinners, recognize our desperate situation. With now knowing a little bit of life for a leper, to get us, in a sense, in the story, just to imagine it. Imagine there's a man. This man of Luke 5 is a guy in his late 30s. He has a beautiful wife, two or three adorable children. He's got a good job in the town. He's a local tradesman starting up his own business and a place to call home. One day, at the end of the day, he comes home and he shows his wife a sore that has developed on his hand. A few days later, that sore is becoming larger and larger, and it doesn't really hurt, so he's not bothered by it. Like most men, he's been putting off getting it checked until finally his wife persuades him it's about time someone looks at that. After a couple of days, he goes and he sees the priest. By now, that sore is larger, it's becoming white and crusty around the edges, and now he can't feel his hand at all. He arrives at the home of the priest, and the priest takes one look at it and simply says to him, "Look, I'm sorry to inform you, but that looks like it's leprosy." And at that, the man is terrified. For he has heard the stories. He has seen lepers begging by the side of the road, and he knows to have leprosy is to have a death sentence. But he's not only afraid of how this disease will utterly ravage his body, he's petrified of the mental and emotional damage, the complete isolation that is coming his way. For this man knows he can never go home again. And so as he gets that diagnosis, while everything in him just wants to go and tuck his little kids in bed one more time, while everything within him wants to go and hold his wife and say, "It will be okay, my love," deep down he knows he can't. He knows if he sees them or goes near them or touches them, they might get this disease themselves. His love keeps him away. This is further stressed when the priest turns to him and says, "Look, I'm really sorry, but if you love them, you'll never see them again. You must remain outside the camp." And so the man walks away. And as he walks away, he does not know what to do and he does not know where to go. He just keeps walking. Word gets back to his family. He's positive. They come and they bring him food. And now daily, he just has to watch his wife cry. And he's desperate to hug her and say, "It'll be okay." But his love keeps him away. Days turn into months, and months turn into years, and this is now the way he watches his kids grow up from a distance. After a couple of years, the visits become less, and it's not that his family don't want to see him, but he doesn't want them to see him. By now, he's utterly ravaged of this disease. Indeed, if you look at the text tells us of this man in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12 reminds us he is, quote, covered with leprosy. The human author of this book is Luke. He is a physician, and so this is a medical diagnosis from Dr. Luke. He is telling us this man is riddled with leprosy. And so he isn't someone who hasn't recently got the infection. He's had it a while. He's covered with leprosy. Maybe by now he's lost fingers and toes, and perhaps even blindness is beginning to set in. And such a man would have known that he looked horrendous. His life was many ways terminal, and now he was simply waiting for that day where death would take a hold of him and free him from the agony of life. But then one day our man hears that a rabbi is in the area, Rabbi Jesus. And he's been hearing stories about this man, so maybe he's picked up on the fact that in Luke chapter 4, Jesus had healed Simon's mother-in-law. Or as Luke 4 says, that people brought to Jesus all those who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on them, he healed them. And just maybe the leper of Luke 5 thought to himself, if Jesus could do that for them, maybe he could do it for me. But would a rabbi like Jesus really want anything to do with someone like me? But our leper, he knows that Jesus can cleanse him, and he's desperate for it. Friends, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we don't often think our sin is that big a deal. We don't see it as a desperate situation that we need to be rescued out of. And that is why people often do not come to Jesus. But this leper recognizes the desperate situation he is in. And so must we. For you see, just as this leper was ceremonially defiled and cut off from God, so sinners are cut off from the presence of God. Separate from Christ, without hope and without God. Just as leprosy grew progressively worse until the leper died, so with sin. Indeed, what have we seen recently in the book of Romans? The wages of sin is death. Or as James would put it in chapter 1 of his book, when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Indeed, we know to be a leper in these days was to be spoken of as the living dead. And Ephesians chapter 2 would say, without Christ, although the person might be physically alive, spiritually we are truly the living dead. It was believed in these days that only God could cure such a disease as leprosy. Only God could raise the living dead. And so this man had no human hope for a cure. His only hope this day in Luke 5 was to fall at the feet of Jesus. And so, friends, there is no human cure for sin. And so, like the leper of Luke 5, our only hope this morning is to recognize our desperate situation, as Ephesians 2 would call us the living dead, and cry out to Jesus. And in many ways, that is what Elizabeth and Tom are saying in their stories, aren't they? That they needed Jesus to fix them because they could not fix themselves. But not only must we recognize our desperate situation, but as we recognize that situation, notice that this leper comes to Jesus and cries out for Jesus to cleanse him. Cries out for Jesus to cleanse him. If you think back again to life in lockdown, I'm sure that for many people, the hardest thing in those days wasn't, as Boris Johnson called us, to stay at home, or even the death by Zoom family quizzes. The hardest thing for many of us was the social distancing measures, wasn't it? All those days of not being able to hug a family member or a friend. Indeed, I know some of us here, because of those measures, we had to introduce our new babies to grandparents and great-grandparents through glass windows. There are others of us who maybe had to say goodbye to loved ones through FaceTime. The social distancing measures were hard. And we know that for a leper, they lived a life under social distancing measures. We know a leper, as Leviticus 13 has told us, was forbidden to enter into towns. They were forced to keep to the social distancing guidelines. But notice, here is a leper who is desperate to see Jesus. He knows that Jesus can work in his life in a miraculous way, so he breaks the social distancing rules and he goes into town. You can just imagine, can't you, if someone went to Lidl in March 2020 without a mask on and had COVID, people would have been fleeing the shop. Here comes a man full of leprosy, entering into the town, and you can imagine people are asking him to leave, grabbing a rock just in case he gets too close. But what does the leper do when he arrives in the town? Verse 12, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground. Luke has already told us this man is covered with leprosy. And to be covered with leprosy means that his disease is far along. His joints would have been seriously infected. Imagine the pain for him to bow at the feet of Jesus. And yet he falls with his face in the dirt, humbly before Jesus. And notice what he asks. Verse 12, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice he doesn't come to Jesus as a long shot or a hopeful idea that just maybe this rabbi could do something for me. For this man, it wasn't a question as to whether or not Jesus had the power to heal him. No, he knew that power here wasn't an issue. He believed and he had faith that Jesus possessed the power. The issue is willingness. Look again. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Literally, if it pleases you, Lord, you can make me clean. Some might have come to Jesus and said, if you heal me, then I'll worship you. But this man says to Jesus, you have the power to heal. You do not have to heal me. I will worship you before you do, but I'm asking that you would cleanse me. You see, notice again, he doesn't just want to be healed. He wants to be cleansed. He wants his life free from leprosy and all the horrible effects and consequences it has had. And so as you look at this man, as deformed and mangled as he was on the outside, inside there is something quite miraculous going on. For he knows that Jesus could deal with his leprosy and that Jesus can also deal with his sin. Lord, if it pleases you, you can purify me physically and spiritually. You can make me clean. And friends, that is a humble prayer of faith, isn't it? But this man knows he's in a desperate situation, and he knows that Jesus can change all of that in a second. Here, this leper is a great example for us as sinners on how we can and should appeal to Jesus for spiritual cleansing. For we learn that as we come to Jesus, knowing that he has the power to, and also that he is willing to. It's not just about being able, is it? It's about being willing. For example, after the morning service, I am very able, you'll be glad to know, to wash your car for you. I'm very able to do so, but I'm not going to. I'm not willing this morning. I'm able, but I'm not willing. Jesus here is very able to deal with this man's leprosy, and he is very able to deal with your sin. The question this morning is, but is he willing? Is he willing to deal with my sin and yours? Well, notice the answer here is an emphatic yes. But we see, secondly, Jesus willingly grants complete forgiveness. Sally at the time was just 13 years of age. She couldn't walk, she couldn't stand. Her lower body had been utterly ravaged by leprosy. And so she dragged herself along the floor, using her elbows to crawl. This little girl, 13 years of age, was determined to get to the door so she could catch a glimpse of the beautiful young woman that in her native language they called Beautiful Sun. Sally, in her short life, had only seen a few Western women. To her, they came from a distant land, far from the dark poverty of Nepal and the crumbling leper hospital where she lived. But it was to this place, on this day, that Princess Diana came on a sweltering day as the patron of the London-based leprosy mission. As young Sally sat on the doorway of her hut, she saw this woman coming towards her with her pale hair, her pale skin, her golden hair, and a beautiful dress. And then all of a sudden, her jaw drops as the princess crouches beside her. To the astonishment of the perspiring pinstriped officials and the British press officers, Princess Diana took one of Sally's painfully distorted limbs and gently caressed it. As she did, there was a huge intake of breath from the officials and the press officers, with the papers commenting later, she didn't wear gloves. She touched them with her bare hands. She didn't seem to have the fear that many others have. Accounts like this of Princess Diana were spoken of not just in Nepal, but around the world. We've all seen those pictures of late Princess Diana holding the hands of lepers. Truly incredible moments. As we come and look at this passage here in Luke 5, to the Jews of Jesus' day, there would have been no more incredible sentence than the simple statement, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper. Next week, we will see Jesus will heal and forgive a paralyzed man, and there he can simply say a word. And here he could simply have said, be clean, and this man would have instantly been clean. But wonderfully, Jesus touched him. You see, the greatest fear that many other people had was that a leper might touch them. Indeed, the trend of Jesus' day was that rabbis would avoid the sick people. There's even an ancient record of a Jewish rabbi boasting about the fact that he was able to throw rocks at a leper. But friends, Jesus was different. Jesus threw no rocks. Rather, here Jesus stops and for a moment devotes all of his attention to this desperate man. You can picture the scene, can't you? This man is on the ground, his face is in the dirt, he is devastated, he is destroyed. And he's probably worried that he's put himself now in a position where the mob could literally drive him out of town or stone him. He's vulnerable, and he's begging, Lord, if you are willing, please cleanse me. And what he's expecting from Jesus and hoping for is a word. But what does he get? A touch. Jesus touches him. And then Jesus gives him a word, verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And then we see at the touch and the words of Jesus, there is complete healing and cleansing. For look what happens, verse 13. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. Immediately, permanently, Jesus cleanses this man from every trace of that disease. And when did Jesus do that for the leper? Right in the midst of the ugliness of his leprosy. You think about it, if there ever was a person who had the right to flee from a leper, it would have been Jesus. For when it came to those Levitical categories of clean and unclean, Jesus was and is the cleanest person on the face of the earth. He could flee, but instead he intervenes. He brings transformation right in the midst of the ugliness of leprosy. And so, friends, do you see it? This leper does not come to Jesus dressed up in his finest Sunday clothes. He does not try and hide his horrible sores and disfigurement. Rather, he comes to Jesus with all the ugliness of his disease. He humbly bows to the feet of Jesus and he says, Jesus, would you really cleanse someone like me? And Jesus responds to this man's faith and humility by cleansing him physically and spiritually. We've seen, haven't we, how leprosy points to the greater problem of sin. We've seen how Jesus is not only able, but he is willing to cleanse us from that sin. And friends, just as Jesus did not wait for this man to get his life fixed, rather, he comes to Jesus in the brokenness of that disease and he appeals for cleansing and Jesus works. So therefore, that does not mean for you and me, we need to wait until we have got our life sorted to come to Jesus. Rather, if we come to him today with the ugliness of our sin, with our past failures and regrets, and humbly say to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You will wonderfully find this morning, not only is he able, but he is willing to do so. And then you will find that just as the leper was instantly and totally healed, so we see the cleansing that Jesus offers spiritually is not just cosmetic. Rather, the sinner who trusts in Christ is instantly and permanently and totally and forever cleansed of their sin in the sight of God. He remembers our sins no more. Which means, wonderfully, Christian, as you come to him time and time again for fresh forgiveness, we remind ourselves that if Jesus died for us while we were his enemies, while we were covered in the ugliness of our sin, how much more can we come to him now that we are his brothers? Now that we are covered in his righteousness. That is, if Jesus went to the cross for us when we did not belong to him, now that we are his, surely he has proven not only do we belong to him, but he has cleansed us and that he will keep us to the end. And so let me ask you this morning, have you done that? Have you humbly and faithfully come to Jesus and said to him, Lord Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can fix me. But then notice, maybe that is not where our passage ends. For Jesus heals the man and then calls the man to obedience. And so Jesus willingly grants complete cleansing and then calls for complete obedience to his word. Notice how Jesus commands this man to do two things in verse 14. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. He tells him to go and tell no one, and we'll learn a little bit more about why he says that next week. But notice here that Jesus calls this man who has been healed of his leprosy to go to the priest to make an offering. Now, we know that to be cleansed and healed of leprosy in the Bible was very, very rare. In fact, before this moment, there are only three people who were healed of leprosy. But we know within the pages of the Old Testament, there were certain laws and requirements for a person who would experience such a cleansing from leprosy. And that's in the book of Leviticus. And in chapter 14, which I'm sure is a chapter we've all memorized off by heart, it gives detailed instructions of how someone who's experienced an alleged healing should respond. And it goes like this. The leper would schedule an appointment with the priest, the spiritual intercessor and mediator for the people before God. And maybe for this man, it was the very priest who years ago had called him and pronounced him to be unclean. He would go to the priest. They would meet in a place outside the city. The priest would come and verify a healing. And then what would happen if the man had been healed of his leprosy? Leviticus 14 says two birds would be taken. One of those birds would be sacrificed, foreshadowing the coming of Christ, showing that through the shedding of his blood, sin will be dealt with. And the other bird was sent away, showing that Jesus deals with our sin and takes it away, and it is remembered no more. All of this takes place, Leviticus 14 says, over a bowl of clean water, showing that it is by God's grace that he cleanses us. And then what would happen would be that the person would bath. They would then shave their entire body, including the eyebrows, so that they would look effectively like a giant newborn baby. It is a picture of how God has given this individual a brand new life. A picture of how when we come to Jesus for cleansing, we are born again. And then that person would be able to meet people again. And imagine our man we saw at the start. He gets to hold his wife he hasn't held in years. He gets to see his kids, and maybe even by now his grandkids. He gets to walk his daughters down the aisle. He gets to meet with friends. He gets to worship God. He gets to go back to the temple, reconnect with the people, and reconnect with God. And at the end of a week-long celebration, the man would bath again, they would shave again, to show that this cleansing that they have received is full and total, and they have been forgiven. And then what the priest would do, in Leviticus 14 speaks about this, they would take three lambs without spot or blemish, foreshadowing the coming of the true Lamb of God. And then the priest would take some of the lamb's blood. He'd place it on the man's ear, on his thumb, and on his big toe. And why? Well, God has transformed his life. God has cleansed this person. He has given him new life. And so now you belong to God. So you listen to him, the ear. You serve him, the hand. And you walk in his ways, the big toe. And friends, that is exactly, isn't it, what life is supposed to be. Jesus has shed his blood. He has shown that we can be forgiven and cleansed from the ugliness of our sin. New life has been made available. Access to the Father has been given. And now, because of those realities, the people of God are to listen to him and serve him and follow him. I love how Elizabeth shared it in her story. To me, being a Christian means I want to follow Jesus with all of my heart. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Jesus has done so much for his people, so they respond by giving their all to him. Friends, as we begin to draw things to a close, if you were with us last week, I asked you the question, if you're not a follower of Jesus, what's the thing that's stopping you from coming to him? And I listed a couple of things there, the fear of what others might think, your reputation, the sins that you know you have to put to death and deal with, the pride of admitting that you're a sinner. But maybe for you this morning, isn't really those things that hinder you from coming to Jesus. Maybe for you, it's simply the fact, well, would Jesus really want anything to do with someone like me? Or it's, there's no way God could forgive me. I don't just have a closet full of skeletons. I've got a whole wardrobe full of them. But notice this man, he comes to Jesus, doesn't he? With all the ugliness of his disease, he humbly bows to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is not repulsed by the leper, nor does he grab a rock to throw it at the leper. Rather, he receives him gladly. He cleanses him, he blesses him, and he sends him on his way. Which means, friends, if you come to Jesus trusting him, not only is he able to cleanse you of your sin, but wonderfully this morning, he's willing to do so. And how am I so sure of that? Because Jesus himself tells us, John 6, the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast down. This day in Luke 5, our leper learned that Jesus can do not what no earthly priest can do. That not only is he willing to cleanse him of his disease, but he's also able to deal with his sin. And so what a turnaround for this man. He gets to go home, gets to worship God again in the temple. He is declared clean. And friends, when we too humbly come to Jesus and ask him to cleanse us, we are clean. We are made new. We are brought into the family of God. And so today, non-Christian, in spite of your sin, in spite of your feeling maybe of unworthiness, if you humbly come to Jesus and you ask him, verse 12, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He will say the same he said to this man as he will say to you, I will be clean. And if you have done so, wonderfully know that you are clean in the eyes of God. And because of those realities, you listen to him, you serve him, and you follow him all your days. Let's pray. Hear these words from 1 Corinthians 6. It says this: neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Father, we truly thank you that as we have sung, you are able to take the broken. And Lord, you are able to wonderfully make them whole. And so, Lord, we thank you that forgiveness has been made available because the true Lamb of God has dealt with our sin. And that through his death upon the cross, Lord, we thank you as we humbly come to you and confess our sin and ask for forgiveness to be cleansed of those sins. Lord, we thank you. This passage reminds us that Jesus is able and Jesus is willing. And so, Lord, I want to pray maybe for anyone with us this morning who are not yet your people. Lord, we pray that we would truly consider the desperate situation that we are in without Christ, and that we would flee from our sin and run to Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that it's not just true at the start of one story, but all the way through. We thank you that Jesus deals with our sin, past and present and future. That not only has he saved us, but wonderfully he will keep us to the end. And so we pray that we would be individuals and that we would be a people who seek to serve him and follow him and walk in his ways all of our days. And to that end, would you help us, we pray. Amen.